Welcome. This is Jody Levin-Epstein at the Center for Law and Social Policy, and I'm delighted today to have a chance to have a conversation with Pat Wilson-Coker about Connecticut's child poverty target. Connecticut's implementing a child poverty target. It calls for child poverty to be reduced by 50% in the decade between 2004 and 2014. Pat served as commissioner of the Department of Social Services until just this year, and she's a big fan of the target. I know that, Pat, because I've heard you. In the next 10 minutes, we'll hear some more about why she liked operating with a target and what it helped her accomplish as a commissioner. In states around the country, child advocates and others are beginning to consider whether and how to develop a child poverty target. Pat's experience should prove valuable to agency administrators as well as to state legislators who are contemplating this for the first time. But first, by way of background, Connecticut's legislature established a child poverty council in 2004 and charged it with recommending strategies to meet the 2014 target. New legislation more recently merged this council with another existing one into a single Child Poverty and Prevention Council. The council is supposed to advise the governor and the legislature on how to realign the state's budget to ensure that it is compatible with reducing child poverty. Welcome, Pat.
Hi there.
Hey, could you first tell us a bit about your work in Connecticut? How long were you commissioner?
Well, I was commissioner for nearly 7 years, from March of 99 until just January of this year.
A long run.
I'll say.
And what was the range of programs that were within your jurisdiction?
Yes, in Connecticut, the Department of Social Services is the TANF agency, the Medicaid agency. We have child support, child care, the block grants, CSBG and SSBG, LIHEAP, rehab services, programs under the Older American Act and the Federal Housing Act.
Oh, wow. A few big important programs in the social service arena.
Indeed.
Now, were you a baby to public sector work, or was this capping a long career?
Well, I've been in public sector work, or I should say state agency work, for the last 18 and a half years.
Okay, so there's my answer.
Yes,
18 years.
Fantastic. 18 and a half years.
Fantastic. So with this public service experience, let us call 18 years extensive, you are a fan of having a child poverty target.
Yes,
I could well imagine, though, someone else coming along and saying, ah, just another burden. But I heard you speak before, and I know that you have a lot of reasons that you favor setting a target and operating as a commissioner under it. Now, could you just give us the bullets for your top two or three reasons?
Certainly. Targets force you to stop talking about things and really put some thought into how you're going to solve the problem. And my top three issues, I would say, are accountability, building partnerships at the state and local level, and turning from crisis management to planning.
Well, those are three very good reasons. And, Pat, what I want to ask you is for each one of them, if you could spend a second giving us an illustration of how having a child poverty target mattered. In other words, maybe what would have happened without it. So your first bullet there was accountability. What's an illustration about how the target helped achieve accountability?
Well, for one thing, it causes us to look at benchmarks. It causes us to collect data, which we wouldn't have collected before. And in Connecticut, each agency was asked to identify two specific programs where they were going to seriously look at what they were doing to reduce poverty with those programs. In my agency, I chose our housing, our RAP and Section 8 programs, and our fatherhood initiative. And in those areas, we specifically looked at where we had been, where we were going, what we were trying to achieve, what the elements that we needed to work specifically on were, and the types of data that we would need to collect so that we would be able to see when we begin to turn the curve in those areas. I don't know that would have happened with the specificity that occurred without the target. We were preparing reports that were going to the governor and to the legislature, and now we know that we will be held accountable, for progress on these areas.
But accountability might be viewed as a two-edged sword in that while you're describing how it forced you, in essence, to look at the numbers and what you could accomplish in your various programs, somebody might not want to be so transparent. What do you say back at that?
I guess I have to say that the stakes are extremely high, and when you look at an issue like child poverty, it affects virtually everything that one does in an agency like the one I used to run. And you can spend a lot of time being overwhelmed by the problem, or you can break it down into smaller pieces and try to do something about it and to see what you've done. And I think that targets assist you in being able to do that.
Okay. Your second bullet, second favorite reason for having a child poverty target, was partnerships. Play that out for us.
Absolutely.
What wouldn't have
happened?
It brings
a lot of people to the table. When the state takes on a public policy, like ending child poverty or just reducing it by half, all of the various departments within the state, education, our DCF, the Children's Agency, corrections, mental health, public health, workforce, economic development, all of those people have a role. They come to understand their role, and they come to understand how what they do impacts the goals and missions of other departments around this particular issue. Also at the local level, people come out to help. In Connecticut, the 12 CAP agencies stepped forward and made as a part of their strategic plan adopting the reduction of poverty by 50% in that same 10-year period. So now we have a cadre of individuals working at the local level within their community with the very same goal, and it just creates a synergy that otherwise might not exist. It certainly makes people accountable to each other, and it shows you where your friends are and where the people who have the same problems, if you will, that you are, and it allows you to work with them toward meeting a common goal.
Okay, well, let's talk about the third bullet then, planning.
Well, okay, that's a big one, because in state government, I find that a lot of times we spend a lot of time in crisis management. And also another problem in public service is that every 4 years, unfortunately, your direction might change. Now, by having a target that extends over a 10-year period, we will find that people who will remain in service, I mean the people below the commissioner and deputy level, will be working on the same poverty issue over a 10-year period.
So it crosses over from
crosses
one administration to the next.
And allows for working on something for a good period of time instead of just, you know, the direction of a specific administration. It also causes you to step away from the crisis and look to how one might prevent the crisis. For example, in the area, one of my areas I look at a lot is in the fatherhood area. You can either look at the need to collect child support and to go after people who haven't been paying, or you can look at why those people haven't been paying, how they might be supported and developed to be a more effective role player in the lives of children who are hitherto unsupported. I'm talking about fathers. I'm saying you look at why aren't they employed, how can you get them employed, what are the elements of reconnecting them to the family, how do you see that that's happening, and how do you nurture and develop that so that child support can be paid and will want to be paid on a regular basis instead of just doing a sweep and putting people in jail because they haven't paid.
Okay, so you've identified for us three key reasons that a child poverty target is a plus: accountability, partnership, and planning. What do you say, though, to what I just heard the other day when an advocate told me that when this notion is mentioned in her state, folks look at her and just say, what, are you Pollyannish or what? So is setting a target, despite all you've just said, really Pollyannish?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's merely practical. When you look at all of the problems that an agency like the one I used to run faces, you have to recognize that there is a root cause, and largely when you're dealing with educational disparities, health disparities, income disparities, achievement disparities, you go back to poverty. And all of these things are connected by poverty. And so when you begin to take something like children's poverty, to break it down into pieces, to see who's responsible for what and what kinds of changes can be made, and you begin to keep account of the data and look back to see where what you're doing has worked and where it hasn't worked, you're really taking a practical approach, and you're not getting overwhelmed by the problem. Instead, you're breaking it down into measurable methods that you can improve upon over time. So it really, I think, is a common sense approach, as opposed to looking at something being Pollyannish. We shouldn't, I think, in America, especially in a rich state like Connecticut, accept the notion that poverty is like a necessary part of life. It isn't. We can do things about it, and we can change the way our society responds to the poor. And we certainly, if we look at the economic benefit, in the long run, we better, because if we don't, in 10 or 15 years, we're all going to be the people who we need to now support will be the ones that are running our economy. And so it's only common sense and self-interest that, not only, but those things alone can cause you to try to want to attack an issue like children's poverty and break it down into pieces and do something about it instead of just lamenting.
I think the do something about it agenda is where we all ought to work forward and stay in touch with you further along the way, Pat, on how to achieve that. So I'd encourage anybody who's either listening today or listening off the CLASP website to get in touch with me. So if you want to be in direct contact with Pat, we can make that happen, as well as identify other resources for you.
Absolutely.
So please contact me at Jodi, J-O-D-I-E, at CLASP.org, and as well on our website, you'll see links to a variety of materials. Stay in touch. Let us know if you're thinking of developing a target in your state. And, Pat, do you want to lead a charge for states to compete against each other to reduce their child poverty rate the fastest?
Absolutely, because if Connecticut can take it on, so can everyone else. And it's an extremely important thing that we all do. This has to be a national conversation, not just a state conversation.
Sounds
ultimately
great.
We'll get there.
Thank you so very much today, Pat, and everybody for listening in. Bye-bye now.